This episode of Way of the Warrior is brought to you by Celebration Cinema, who brings you UFC 184, Zingano and Rousey on the big screen this weekend. We, of course, will be talking a lot about that as we get into the broadcast, which comes to you live from Celebration Cinema North, where you can catch UFC 184 on the big screen. Without further ado, we rock in to Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hulkren with you, episode 264, as we talk about UFC 184. It obviously had its share of ups and downs, as it was supposed to be headlined by Chris Weidman and Vitor Belfort, and that has been moved to the May card, UFC 187, which will be, of course, John Jones and Anthony Rumble Johnson. And Chris Weidman, off of his injury, he is back at it. He will be taking on Vitor Belfort as the co-main event. So that means this weekend on the big screen, a big, big fight, an important fight. Ronda Rousey takes on undefeated Kat Zingano, two undefeated fighters in a division that I think leaves a lot of questions when this fight is over, because if Ronda Rousey is able to win, Cyborg is also competing this week, and she is tested clean so far. So she's going to enter the octagon in Invicta, and if she is victorious, perhaps we will finally see Ronda Rousey and Cyborg, although that is a bit premature because Kat Zingano is no joke. And the thing about Kat Zingano is that she's a very, very, very emotional fighter. And she is an emotional fighter because her life has been full of a lot of ups and downs. There's a great article that was in ESPN, the magazine, and you can catch it on our Twitter account at Wow Show, that talks about all the trials and tribulations and raising a child by yourself while being an MMA fighter and falling in love with the man of your dreams, only for that man to commit suicide and then be called by Dana White and say, you know, we're going to pass you over for a third time after your injuries and your absence given to your personal issues of the championship fight with Ronda Rousey. All of that struggle aside brings her here. And the thing about Kat Zingano is that not only is she a highly emotional fighter, is she a highly weathered fighter, she is a fighter that finishes, much like Ronda Rousey, a fighter that finishes fights. One decision of her nine fights, and the rest have been KO, TKOs, or three submissions. She has spent more time on the mat than any fighter, female fighter in the UFC, including Ronda Rousey. And her jab percentage is far and away way better than most in the UFC at 84%. So she can hit you with a jab. And if Sean was here, he would talk a lot about how he would love it if there would be more jabs in most of mixed martial arts, and that is such an underrated weapon when you're talking about how to get a fight to where you want it to go. The jab is a great way to make that happen. So when you look at this on paper, this is a fight that we're very, very excited to see. For me, though, I still, and I've been saying it on Twitter all week and most of last week and posting as much stuff as I possibly can, because I find Ronda Rousey to be the most interesting human being on planet Earth, and as far as an athlete in mixed martial arts, and I cannot get enough of her. So anytime she's on a card, I want to watch that card. And the bantamweight division in the UFC, in the women's division, to me, is fascinating. And so this fight is very, very important, not only for both women, but it's very important for the organization, because headlining this card with Ronda Rousey and Kat Zingano, co-main evented by Raquel Pennington, and the debut of Holly Holm, could set the tone for what the rest of 2015 talks about. We've been talking a lot about, once we get to July, when the testing is going to get gnarly, what is the organization going to look like, and who can they lean on? Well, we may have those answers this weekend if this pay-per-view does any bit of business. And I know it's not slated to do the bit of business that it would do if it was John Jones, Anthony Johnson, and Vitor Belfort and Chris Weidman, but there are people that, and lots of people that want to see Ronda Rousey, and being able to see Ronda Rousey in a number of places. Obviously, you could see her at bars or at houses, or obviously on the big screen at UFC 184. These things are things that fans want to gravitate towards, and I really feel that we're going to get the answers as to whom is fired up to see a card like this, which on paper looks like something that you would go, man, I don't really know if I want to invest in this. But that top fight, for me, is worth $60. And you may say that I'm crazy, and you can tweet at me, and you can email me, and you can jump on Facebook, and you can jump on my blog and tell me what an idiot I am. But I'm telling you, I find Ronda Rousey absolutely fascinating, and her ability to dispatch all opponents is nothing short of incredible. And Kat Zingano, for me, I find to be a more interesting fight than Cyborg. I'll obviously watch it if Ronda wins and Cyborg wins and that happens. I'll watch that. This, though, is a fight that I think is a lot more dangerous because Kat Zingano is somebody that's going to go for broke, somebody who's going to take a lot of chances and probably pay for those chances, but she's going to give herself some chances that other fighters wouldn't because they might be scared of what Ronda Rousey could do. And I think when you get in those situations and you're fighting at the championship level, you've got to go for broke because what else do you have? She's been passed over three times in a championship fight. And you've been passed over three times and this is your shot. You've got to go for that shot with everything that you possibly can. I'm just super excited to see what Ronda Rousey is going to do on Saturday night and more excited just to see how the fight shakes out. If you're asking me for a pick, I'm going to tell you straight up that I think Ronda Rousey is going to take this one. The rest of the card, though, is much more difficult for me to kind of break down as far as who is going to win and who is not going to win. The co-main event between Raquel Pennington and Holly Holm. Holly Holm has been talking a lot of trash and focusing a lot on Ronda Rousey because I think she wants to make a name for herself. She's coming over from boxing. This is her debut in the UFC. We've had to wait a long, 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 long time. She had a neck injury in December that prevented her from making that debut, and that could be something that in the long run, not necessarily this weekend, but in the long run could be very dangerous, and I mean dangerous in the fact that it could shorten her career because, as she said in an interview earlier this week, that it just never felt the same back there after she kind of got it looked at, and the numbness in her hand went away. The numbness went away. The feeling came back, but she said it herself that she doesn't feel like it's the same back there. And then the rest of the main event, I'm obviously a huge fan of Tony Ferguson out of Muskegon taking on Gleison Tibau. Gleison on a three-fight win streak. Tony on a four-fight win streak. This is going to be a war, and whichever one wins this is in the driver's seat for some amazing stuff at lightweight. And I know we talk about the avalanche that is the lightweight division and how tough it is to get a title shot, especially when a guy like Anthony Pettis, it's hard to get him nailed down to even get him into the octagon. But when he gets in, you're obviously amazed by it. And I would say guys 2 through 7, 8 maybe even, would be in line for title shots or be applicable for title shots. You've got Cerrone and Nurmagomedov on that card at UFC 187, and the rest of the people in the lightweight division are just serial killers. So this is a big, big fight at the lightweight division to see who's going to be next to jump in that logjam and find out who might be a contender probably by the end of 2015. The middle fight is Jake Ellenberger and Josh Koscheck, who both of which, if you're going to come up with a cut list, I would say that Mark Munoz is on that list, who's the last fight on the main card, and then these two gentlemen who are both on three-fight win streaks. And Josh Koscheck hasn't been with the organization in, I believe, 16 months was the last time he was in the UFC. So this is one of those fights that could be two guys that are really tentative because neither one of them wants to lose, so they get cut. Or you get two guys who are going to go for broke and make it happen. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun fight between those two because a three-fight losing streak for both of those guys who at one point were contenders and at this point are certainly not contenders. I would say that you're on a pay-per-view. There's a lot at stake in the women's division and a lot of buzz. People, when you see Ronda Rousey on a card, people get excited about Ronda Rousey being on a card, and I think that energy carries over. And there has been a lot of great video coming out of UFC 184 as the countdown to the event happens. And like I said, we're sponsored this week by Celebration Cinema, where we are broadcasting live. And you can catch it on the big screen at most of the Celebration Cinema locations. You can get your tickets at CelebrationCinema.com. but UFC 184 is in full effect. The Bantamweight Championship is the main event. Rousey, Zingano, both undefeated. Zingano's got some skill sets and some passion, and probably the most intense fighter that Ronda Rousey has fought. And also, this weekend, if Ronda Rousey wins, like I said, Cyborg is fighting Friday night. You could see Cyborg Rousey down the stretch. If Holly Holm has a brilliant debut, you could see that one down the stretch. So still some exciting things for Ronda Rousey, even if she gets past Kat. If she doesn't get past Kat, it makes for a really, really, really interesting division very quickly. And it's not like you want to see somebody as dominant as Ronda Rousey lose. At least I'm not one of those people that wants to see somebody like Ronda Rousey lose. But if she does, it makes for a lot easier matchmaking and some really, really fun rematches between Zingano and Rousey, some trilogies perhaps, if you like that sort of thing, and makes it quicker if you want to see Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey go at it. If Holly wins and Ronda loses, that might be an interesting matchup as well. But you can catch that Saturday night. The weigh-ins are going to be Friday night. We'll post that online at the Way of the Warrior page, and you can follow along on our Twitter account at Wow Show. And Joe will be posting all of the results on Twitter and Facebook. So if you are going to watch it on a delay, know that on Facebook, Joe has no governor to not post the actual results literally a nanosecond after they happen. So we are there to post the results for you so that you can enjoy them as soon as possible. So just bear that in mind. When we come back, we will talk about all of the other UFC news that happened this week as we broadcast live at Celebration Cinema. UFC 184 is going to be on the big screen. Tickets available, CelebrationCinema.com. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, bringing you all of the coverage for UFC 184 as we broadcast live from Celebration Cinema, where you can catch Way of the Warrior and UFC 184 on the big screen. Tickets still available at CelebrationCinema.com. That's what I'm trying to say. CelebrationCinema.com. You can get them all the way up till showtime. Walk in, and you can literally jump in and check out Ronda Rousey and Kat Zingano on the big screen. I'm telling you, the fight is important, and I'm really excited to see what happens when the dust settles and we find out how many people tuned in to check out this fight, because I find her to be fascinating, and I think all of the controversies aside in the rest of the organization, she is by far the most interesting thing happening in the UFC right now, and I think people want to watch that. So this past weekend, it was UFC on Fox Sports 1 as it came live from Brazil. An amazing night of fights. Even if you didn't know all of the people on the card, it was still an amazing night of fights for a couple reasons. One, there were some really, really great fights that you got to enjoy for free, which is always a great thing. Two, it was a historic night in the UFC, as for the first time ever, save for the very, 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 very first fight that ended up on Fight Pass, 10, count them 10, underdogs won in a row, which cost one bookie, one place that you can bet on the fights, over $1 million in losses, because underdogs winning is not good for anybody who bets on fight picks, so to speak. So 10 in a row, and to put that into perspective, if 8 in a row had won, so the first fight ends up going to the favorite, and then the next 8 happen, the odds of that happening were 63,000 to 1, meaning if you bet $1 on that parlay, which is what happens when you pick more than one fight, if you had bet $1 on that parlay, you would have won $63,000. And instead, this one particular betting firm lost $1 million on Sunday night, as Fox Sports 1 just dominated in the ratings in all of the demographics that they wanted, because there wasn't a whole lot going on. You had The Walking Dead, you had the Oscars, which were terrible, and you had this. So you got to see probably a bunch of guys that you were just getting introduced to, but like the Frankie Saiyans beating Uri Alcantara was a great fight. The Sam Alvey fight was terrific. There was just a lot of terrific fights. Big one in the women's division as Marion Renault defeated Jessica Andrade with a triangle choke in the very, very first round. She wanted to go out and kind of prove that her jiu-jitsu was better than Jessica's and was able to prove just that. That was a great fight. And what I want to do is take a moment to shout out to the UFC and Fox Sports 1 for giving Marianne her day in the sun, because that happened on the prelims and she really didn't get to do the post-fight interview, so they let her do it later on, which was very important because this was a big fight in the women's division and one that needed to be spotlit, especially on a night where there was probably a lot of fights that most fans were like, I don't know who any of these guys are, but these are awesome fights. Co-main event, Michael Johnson looking unstoppable. And when we talk about UFC 184, Tony Ferguson and Gleison Tibau are fighting, and both of them have lost to Michael Johnson, which will tell you how great Michael Johnson is as he's tearing through the lightweight division. Just made Edson Barboza look like he was behind a step. It was a really, really impressive performance. And a big win for Michael Johnson in the lightweight division, and a guy that you absolutely want to keep an eye on, because even if Tony beats Gleison Tibau, like I said, and he'll get in line to where the number one contendership might be, Michael Johnson is still leagues ahead of him and will get that shot first. Once you figure out the Cerrone, Nurmagomedov, Pettis universe, that will be the very next thing. I think will be Michael Johnson in a number one contenders match, and then maybe Michael Johnson for the title by the end of the year, depending on what happens with the Cerrone, Nurmagomedov stuff. In the main event, Frank Mir, the underdog, if you can believe it, defeats Bigfoot Silva in 100 seconds. A very, very, very impressive knockout. Now, hard to tell. Frank looked big. For sure looked big, but hard to tell how much better, if at all, is Frank Mir. He looked relaxed. He looked like he knew what he was doing. He didn't look like he was tentative and looked like he knew exactly what he wanted to do when he ended that fight. As for what he wants to do now, I don't even know that any of this is possible. There's talk about Brock Lesnar coming to the UFC still. That said, a couple things to keep in mind. And this obviously wouldn't keep Bellator from doing it, because we'll talk about Ken Shamrock's latest endeavor. So age might not be a factor. But Brock Lesnar is 38 years of age. And so being 38 and going back into the UFC, that's going to be a really, really short career. I would say 2, maybe 3 years if he's lucky. So Frank Mir wanting this rubber match, while I think it would be big money and big business, I just don't see it happening. CM Punk leaving the WWE to come to the UFC was a bit of a coup and something that's a bit of a mark on the UFC, on the WWE. And I don't know that they want to do two of those in a row. So my guess is I'm going to agree with Dave Meltzer, who wrote about this on Wednesday, that said it, even though Brock didn't show up on WWE Raw on Monday night, that in fact they will figure this thing out and he will stay with the WWE because the longevity of staying there and the money is probably better. Yes, he could get some big fights, but how many is he really going to get? He's going to fight once, twice a year for 3 years, six fights. That money compared to what he could do in the UFC and in the WWE, excuse me. And in the WWE, he's controlling his schedule, which is something you don't really do in the UFC. You go where they tell you to go and you fight when they tell you to fight for the most part. So I know that Frank wants to do that, and Frank thinks he can dominate him, and Frank was bigger and looked better, bigger than he did the second time he fought Brock Lesnar. Because if you remember, he fought Brock the first time, beat him by the ankle lock, knee lock, leg lock, and then bulked up for that second one and just got trounced, just because I think he just put weight on in the wrong way. He looked great on Sunday night, and I'm excited to see him get back at it, and excited to see him get on the winning streak. But I could be surprised, but I don't see Brock Lesnar coming over from the WWE to the UFC. Although his contract does expire on the night after WrestleMania, so he would fight at WrestleMania, likely make an appearance on Raw, and that would probably be the end of it. I don't know that that's really going to be a thing. Other things that have been announced this week, immediately after the giant fight in May of UFC 187, which again, as a reminder, is John Jones and Anthony Rumble Johnson at UFC 188, we finally head to Mexico City as Cain Velasquez will take on Fabricio Werdum. That will be June 13th and was probably next to the Nurmagomedov Cerrone fight on UFC 187, the worst kept secret in all of mixed martial arts, as we were just waiting for everybody to kind of say, yep, this is the thing we're doing. So UFC 188 is going to be at Mexico City June 13th. and that will be, that goes without saying, a big fight and a big test. And exciting to see what happens when they go to Mexico City. I'm so excited to see what that crowd's like, because I bet they're going to absolutely love the product. The other thing that's interesting is Bellator held their fan event this week, because they've got the British Invasion as Paul Daly makes his U.S. debut, or U.S. return, I should say. Feels a bit like a debut, but he makes his U.S. return at Bellator 134. So they had a fan thing going on all week, and Fedor was talking and hanging out and doing a whole bunch of interviews. And the UFC is talking about going to Sochi or Moscow in 2016, which I think is another exciting place for them to go. And perhaps they might be able to get Fedor to be a part of that too, if he doesn't officially join Bellator. He and Scott Coker are close, so there are people talking about that maybe he could come out of retirement for Scott Coker and do something in Bellator. But likely he's just going to do these sorts of things and look for promotional opportunities and stay retired, because it seems like he really, really enjoys being retired. But UFC going to Mexico City in June and could be heading to Moscow in 2016. And then John Dodson, he lands on the UFC 187 card. He will make his return after nearly a year off. He's going to fight Zach Makowski, who fought 2 weeks ago and had a great fight, and that will be a fun fight between those two. Excited to see Dodson getting back into the octagon. UFC 187, which... I don't even know when tickets go on sale, but they're going to go fast. Not Mayweather-Pacquiao fast. That was crazy, right? We'll talk more about that, and that will be shown on the big screen here at Celebration Cinema in May when that happens. But Mayweather-Pacquiao, the hotels at the MGM Grand went in 90 seconds. The tickets are going to be just as hot, and I think tickets for UFC 187 are going to be super hot, but not nearly as hot as Mayweather-Pacquiao. And like I said, as we get closer to that, we will talk more about that, because you have to talk more about that. You know what I mean? So also this weekend, we've got, I talked a little bit about Invicta, as Cyborg will be fighting this weekend. And if she wins, you might be able to see her take on Ronda Rousey. She's passed all the tests that they've asked her to pass. So that's exciting news for people who want to see that fight happen. I think Ronda, as I've said, has a very, very tough test this week. So we'll have to see what happens on Sunday morning when the dust settles, how fast they're going to make that fight, and when it looks like they're going to make it. Because when you look at the way the UFC shakes out for the rest of the year, after June when Cain and Verdum fight, I don't know that you'll see Cain again this year. You might if we get lucky. But if we don't, we're going to want to see Ronda before the end of the year and see where she ends. So Bellator this weekend, it's Bellator 134. Czech Congo and King Mo are going to go at it, and also Andre Santos and Paul Daly will go at it. So if you are looking for MMA, there's a lot of it on Friday night, as you get Bellator and you get Invicta, but 134 will be on Spike, so you can check that out. It kicks off at 9 o'clock Eastern, so you can enjoy what they are calling the British Invasion. The other announcement that happened at the Bellator Fan Fest was... I don't know. I don't even know what to do with this. That Kimbo Slice made his return, and I think that happened over the weekend, maybe right before the UFC Brazil card. But then they announced the fight yesterday, where it's going to be Kimbo Slice and 51-year-old Ken Shamrock. 51-year-old Ken Shamrock, a heavyweight battle between Kimbo and Ken Shamrock. And I want to love, believe me, the more chances I get to watch MMA, the happier a human being I am. So I want to watch as much MMA as I possibly can. I really do. And I want to like Bellator. I want to love Bellator. However, the Stephen Bonner-Tito Ortiz fight was beyond awful. It might have been the worst fight I've ever seen since Tim Sylvia Gann McGee. This fight will be worse than that. Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock is terrible. Thankfully, it'll be live on Spike. They're not trying to do a pay-per-view model, which I just think they're not at a place where they should be doing a pay-per-view model yet. But this fight was supposed to happen, 7 years ago? And Ken would have been in his 40s, would have been 44 years old. He is now 51 years old, and it just didn't come to fruition. So Kimbo will be taking on Ken Shamrock. If you remember, they were supposed to headline it, and I believe that's the one where... yeah, where Shamrock suffered that cut 24 hours before the fight, and they had to bring in Seth Petrozelli, who knocked Kimbo out in 14 seconds. So you remember how that story shakes out. This will not be nearly as exciting. I think this will be an awful, awful display of MMA that will happen June 20th in the Lou, St. Louis, live on Spike. So you can check out Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock. All right, so as we've been talking all night long, it is UFC 184 as we broadcast live from Celebration Cinema on the big screen. Ronda Rousey, Kat Zingano. I will repost up the story from ESPN, the magazine, about Kat Zingano and her terribly tragic story. It's the stuff that you just want to root for somebody like that to have an amazing night. So to me, that story and just watching Ronda be Ronda. We posted the video of Ronda Rousey just wiping the mat with BJ Penn. She's just such an interesting fighter, and I can't get enough of her. I wish she fought four times a year, but I understand why she doesn't. And so for me, I said it earlier in the show, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I am all in on these fights. I will give you $60 just to watch Ronda fight whomever you want her to fight. And I want this to be an awesome fight. I would love it if it went three or four rounds, because I think that would be really exciting for this part of the sport, because Ronda at this point needs an actual foil. Not in the same way that Anderson Silva needed Chael Sonnen to kind of fix the Damian Maia deal, because it's not like Ronda needs anything to fix that, but Ronda needs a real test. Ronda needs, for me anyway, a chance to see her pull out the championship stuff that we love to see. If you think back to the John Jones-Gustafson fight, I think John Jones made a lot of fans at that fight, because you saw him pull through at the last two rounds and do what champions do and win the fight. I would love to see a fight like that. It's amazing to see Ronda do what Ronda does, and I'm likely going to lean that it's a first round Ronda doing what Ronda does, but if it isn't, I would love to see a back and forth go for a couple rounds and get to see Ronda be tested and pass that test, because this is just such an intriguing matchup, a big matchup for not only the UFC but women's MMA. And I think it was Ariel Helwani earlier in the week that said this, and I wanted to take a minute to say this before we wrap up for the evening live from Celebration Cinema, is that none of this stuff really gets to happen without Gina Carano. So whatever you want to think about Gina Carano and her time in Elite XC, her time in Strikeforce, her walking away from the sport, her acting, if you can even call it that, depending on the movie, she paved the way for these things to happen. She paved the way for there to be an opportunity for you to see two bantamweights fight on a big screen at a movie theater, or for you to pay $60 for that to be the main event. That all happens because Gina Carano and what Gina Carano did to put women's MMA on the map. And I think that can't be understated and needs to be something that's pointed out a couple times this weekend as all of this happens. You've got a main event and a co-main event, both of which are very important, and that starts with Gina Carano's career. And while I don't need her to come back and fight Ronda Rousey, I just don't think that's a necessity. I do think you owe it to her, we owe it to her, to just mention the fact that we understand that she was a very important facet of making these sorts of things happen. All right, so have a wonderful weekend. I know this was a little bit shorter, but none of the guys could make it this week, so I'm doing it solo, and it's obviously much more difficult to talk for an hour by yourself, so you get 30 minutes or so of me talking by myself, which I hope you enjoyed. Get at me on Twitter at Polymath and Vine. Jump on the Facebook page at Wow Show or Twitter at Wow Show, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I will talk to you next week. Excited to see the fights on Saturday night, and you can still get tickets. UFC 184 Celebration Cinema live with Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.